Said if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Of course, that's the legendary Kenny Rogers who passed away today. Bill Lasky with us, Ron Wotus with us. Well, let's talk about the 79 We Are Family Pirates. You got to know a lot of these guys, so let's start with Chuck Tanner. What do you think?
Well, Chuck was he was the manager of that club, and you know, he was extremely positive, one of the most positive guys that you could be around, and sometimes almost to a fault. You know, I remember one day he stood up in front of the club, and Dale Barrow was a pretty good shortstop in his own right, but, you know, he was more of an offensive shortstop. He offered some hitting ability, and he stood up one day and he told the whole team about how Dale Barrow was the best shortstop in the league, and we all looked at each other like, are you sure about that, Chuck? I mean, he can hit, but we don't think he was the best shortstop. So Chuck was great to be around, and he was very positive.
Yeah. Bill, your recollection of the 79 family?
Oh, I can't forget about that. I grew up in the Midwest, so the Pirates were right there with the Reds and the Tigers. And of course, you know, you start thinking of that. You think of Willie Stargell right off the bat. Willie Stargell and Mike the Hitman, this Eastler. I mean, there are so many guys on that team just jump at you. Phil Gardner, you know, John Candelario was another one. And then you had Burt Blyleven on that team, too. So the rotation was solid. Of course, Bill Matlock was on that club, one of the best hitters I ever faced. And yeah, you go right down that roster, and each one of those guys were just a stellar lineup. And then the bench was strong, too. So those were the years when the Pirates were solid, and the fans came out. And like you said, Marty, We Are Family blasted everywhere, and that song just took off when they won that World Series.
Well, when you got to the big leagues, were there still the core of the World Series team there? Did you get to know these guys?
Yeah, I got to know a few of them. You know, I was drafted in 79. So the great thing for me, I was drafted out of high school in Connecticut and went down and played in the Gulf Coast League there at Pirate City, which is a hotel in Bradenton, Florida. I know Bill's been there, I'm sure, many times. And anyway, so, you know, I was there. And when the World Series was going on, I was invited to the Instructional League. So I was actually at Pirate City watching the Pittsburgh Pirates, my first year that was drafted, win the World Series. And, of course, you know, the players were larger than life. You were just drafted by the team. You know, you just got into pro ball. It's an exciting time in your life. And then, of course, when I got to my first major league camp in 1982, you know, Willie Stargell was around. He helped out. He wasn't playing anymore. But we still had Bill Matlock was there, you know, Candelaria. Tecolvi was gone, but he was around a little bit here. As you mentioned, Mike Easler was on the team, Tony Pena. A lot of the guys were still there on the club. And great memories for me coming up as a Pirate.
Yeah, Bill Matlock, what a hitter.
Ooh, he was
great
fabulous.
Hitter.
I mean, of course, the years when he was with the Giants, too. Batting average, batting leader. And, you know, we keep forgetting about Dave Parker. Dave Parker was such an instrumental person on that team, and just how big he was at the plate and how he covered the plate so well. Pull hitter, but he could still take it to left field. He was one of the first guys besides Dave Kingman when you looked at him, you're like, my God, this guy's huge. But he was one of the, I mean, terrific outfielder, too. And, Ron, I know you watched him, too, many years. So you, Marty. He was never even talked about as a good defensive player, but he was really good. Cannon for an arm, too.
Well, I remember the arm in the All-Star game, the famous throw he made, and I forget exactly what it was. But, whoa, that's a guy, if you were coaching third, you don't run on Dave Parker. I'll tell you, you must have seen him throw.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, he was on the team there. And a couple of things. You mentioned being a third base coach. I liked you played Kenny Rogers. I didn't know he passed away. But that's a third base coach's song, because everybody I run into, it says, you know, just send them. Well, just send them. Send the runner. And I said, no, you got to know when to hold them, just like Kenny Rogers does in that song.
There you go.
You got to know when to stop them. But back to Parker, you know, the thing that I remember walking into my first major league camp with Dave Parker and Mike Easler and Tony Pena and Bill Robinson and Candelaria was the banter that these guys had in a major league clubhouse. You know, Parker was larger than life, and he was always stirring the pot and bragging about how good he was and how many hits he's going to get and things like that. And, you know, all that bravado. And, you know, that really stuck in my hat and remembered. And when you're around good teams and good players, they don't all talk like that, but they certainly have that type of confidence.
Boy, good time. I enjoyed seeing that. I was an Oriole fan in those days, so I didn't like the 3-1 comeback that the Pirates had. But Scott McGregor pitched that last game, and Stargell got a pitch, and he didn't miss it. And I just the power of Willie Stargell, I guess. And he hit a ball out of Dodger Stadium. He's one of the guys who hit it out, you know, out of the ballpark over those bullpens. But, boy, that's the one thing I remember about Willie Stargell, the awesome power this guy had. It didn't have to be a cookie down the middle. He could go get it and take it out.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I got to face him, and, you know, I used to throw him sinkers all the time and hope he pulled them because he could go down. He could go down and hit it to left center with the best of them, but his power was just all power to right field. And he didn't miss too many down. You know, you had to kind of cross-seam him by his waist if you could. But he was just fabulous. He was one of the nicest guys off the field, always talking to you, had some great conversations with Willie Stargell over the years, and just a pleasure to talk to you. You know, that's why they called him the father of that team. He was Pops, and that's what Willie Stargell was. And, you know, he left the earth too early, too. He was a stellar guy, and there was so many stories that he had. That he just, you know, transformed right on the field, and he was the guy in that dugout you could go sit to. So many players said his intelligence was just better than a manager because he was that guy. And when you have that guy on that team or in that clubhouse, and Ron, you and I played on many teams that had that guy that you could go any day and talk to him if it's a good thing or a bad thing, and he was that guy. And I'll never forget Pops. He was a fabulous player.
Oh, very good. Hey, let's turn our attention to 2010 for a little while here. Well, going into this series against the Rangers, and you always told me that the Phillies, you hit them in the jaw, they never knew what hit them and knocked them out. Then you go into the World Series against the Rangers in 2010. What did you think going into that World Series?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we knew the Phillies were the class of the league, and I was so excited. I think I jumped higher than I ever jumped, and I hugged Rags. I think I took his breath away. I was so excited to beat the Phillies, and, you know, that game that when we clinched it, we were you know, a line drive away from losing that game as well. But, you know, once we beat the Phillies, we were so confident. You know, we knew we had the pitching. You know, Lincecum, Kane, Bumgarner, we had the pen. And we knew if we just could score some runs, we could beat anybody. And honestly, we didn't know Texas, right? I mean, we didn't play Texas. We heard about their high-powered offense, but we were riding high. And I think that momentum and our confidence really carried us into win the first two games at home, really solidified that series for us that we weren't going to be denied. So that's my memory, though. Going into Texas, we felt good that we were going to win that series.
Bill, what do you think? Hey, Ron, Giants-Rangers.
No, I wanted to ask Ron, do you think Philly was maybe a little cocky going into that series, thinking that this was all done because they had such a fabulous season that year?
Well, you know, you're always concerned about a little bit of a letdown when you've won and you've been there before. But, you know, they were so talented. I really think they could have been, you know, but, you know, sometimes that confidence and that assuredness works in your favor. So it's hard to say, but I think really the difference maker was our starting pitching. And, you know, and it continued in the World Series with Texas. Lincecum was so dominant with his changeup and his fastball. You watch the games he pitched in the World Series or even before that, and hitters they're swinging at balls that aren't even close to the plate because you had to make up your mind early with him. You just couldn't pick up the difference between his heater and his changeup.
Well, the game one was the one for me. Because, look, Texas takes a 2-0 lead. You guys tie it up 2-2. But I just wanted to go through this fifth inning just a little bit to show you how amazing this series was going to be. Here we are. It's the bottom of the fifth inning. And Texas and the Giants, it's 2-2, right? All right. So here we go. Lincecum grounds out to short. Torres doubles to left. Freddie Sanchez, remember how many doubles he had? He doubles to center. Torres scores. Now, Posey's called out on strikes. There's two out and only one run in. Pat Burrow walks. Ross singles to center. Freddie Sanchez scores. Burrow to second. Huff singles to center. Burrow scores. Ross to second. They bring in Darren O'Day, the sinker ball pitcher. They knock Lee out. And Uribe, hits this three-run shot for Ross, and Huff scores. Renteria is hit by a pitch. Lincecum gets on in an error by Elvis Andrus. And then Torres strikes out. And that inning, in and of itself, showed the move the line and the big home run by Renteria.
Uribe.
In that one.
Oh, Renteria.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Uribe. How about that inning?
I think you bring up a good point that you hear us talk about move the line, and you usually don't have innings like that in playoffs or World Series because good pitching usually gets good hitting out. But we certainly put it together, and, a lot of strange things. And, you just never know how some players are going to react in those big moments. I mean, some players rise to the occasion, some players feel the pressure a little bit. So it was nice to string together an inning like that. You know, it really puts you at ease when you can do that and get a big lead on a team in such an important game.
You know, I was looking up the box score as we're talking. San Diego Casilla comes in the seventh inning, or in the bottom of the sixth inning. Lincecum goes 5 2/3, then Casilla comes in. And here's Casilla in the game, middle of the inning. You go Romo Lopez, Ramon Ramirez, F. Felton, and Wilson. I mean, that bullpen right there was on fire. And Lincecum goes 5 2/3, gives up 8 hits, but he's still in the ball game. And then the game just gets opened up as the game progresses. And, of course, the Giants blow it open.
So that game, 11-7. It ends up 11-7. Yeah. So that's game one. All right. The immortal Cliff Lee is knocked around. And the Giants, that fifth inning was unbelievable. But, next game is Matt Cain's game. And what a playoff he had. And that was the one you won the games at home. But Cain was fabulous in the second game.
Yeah, he was. I think he went 7 2/3, and he was in total command. I think we were, and he was pitching in a tight ball game. It's not like he was working with 3 or 4 runs. It was 0-0, and then we went up 1-0. We went up 2-0. I think when he left the game with, 2 outs in the seventh inning and in the eighth inning, and Javi Lopez came in and got a big out against Hamilton. And then, of course, we went on to score. We went on to score some runs. That bottom of the eighth to blow that thing open. And I think Mota actually closed that game out in game two. But the job Matt Cain did to put goose eggs up there against a tough lineup and to go, just about 8 innings strong at a 2-0 game, he pitched his tail off again. That's why I said whether it was the Philly series or the World Series, Cain, Bum, Lincecum, these guys were the difference makers.
Yeah, good point. And Sanchez, too. Jonathan Sanchez had his moments, too.
Yeah, he sure did.
So then we go to game five. Listen to this, Bill. You go to game five, and this is another tight game with Lincecum and Cliff Lee. There's no score in the seventh inning until Renteria comes up.
Yeah. Well, I remember that inning, like it was yesterday because it was a big inning for us. And Cody Ross, who was a great addition, right, for us at the trading deadline, and he singled. And then the other guy you mentioned that was really big for us in the playoffs, and fans probably forget, Juan Uribe got that starting role. When we were playing in Philly, we discussed whether Uribe should play or Renteria or Pablo Sandoval, because Pablo Sandoval was on that club, and he wasn't moving like he was. He was a young, good hitter, and we decided to go with the experience in Uribe and Renteria, and Uribe came up big in the whole playoff series with big hits, and he was right in the middle of that inning. Now you got first and second, right? You have first and second, nobody out. And what's Aubrey Huff do? He drops a bunt down.
Oh, right.
And almost beats it out. Almost beats it out.
Yep.
And they pitched to Burrell, who was struggling. You know, Pat was a great leader for us and a great hitter, but he was struggling at that time. I think he had a string of at-bats. He wasn't himself. He ended up striking out, and they probably felt, oh, shoot, we're getting out of this inning. You know, a fly ball's not going to hurt us. And next thing you know, Edgar Renteria gets a ball up and out over the plate that lead through, and he hit it for the home run, and that was the difference in the game.
Mm. Yeah, back to Lincecum. You go back to Lincecum in that game, 8 innings, 3 hits, 10 Ks, threw 101 pitches, and he was on fire that entire game. And again, like you were saying, Marty, Cliff Lee again was battling him 0-0 through that whole battle. Just a great game. I thought that was one of the better games in that whole series, and nail biter and everything else going on. And just the clutch hits that came in for the Giants were key in that game.
Well, you know, I love doing this. I tell you, I have goosebumps talking to you guys about this and having those memories come back. Do you feel the same way talking about it?
Oh, I remember
I do,
games.
Absolutely.
I mean, those are great. Oh, they were just so, I mean, and that's what I love about when you're talking about MLB going back in some of the older games, and then NBC Bay Area played a couple of them too. And, you know, you start remembering these games and you start remembering the stars, just like what you were telling. Juan Uribe, I didn't even remember he was playing third base. I always remember the middle infielder, and he played third base so well in that series for the Giants.
Yeah, it was a tremendous, you know, when you get to watch the old games on TV, and I'm going to do that. I still haven't sat down and watched the whole series. I've seen, you know, portions on TV here and there, which it just, you know, you just get that feeling over and it brings a smile to your face to watch those games. And, you know, I remember watching the last inning of that game we're talking about that Wilson closed it out. You know, he was so good for us, too, to strike out Cruz to end the game. But, you know, he didn't make great pitches. Not to say anything negative about him, but that was a backup slider. He threw to Cruz. He left it right there. And his location wasn't on, but he got away with it. And, you know, it was almost like it was meant to be. But I have to say, you know, most of the time, Wilson was dead on with his command, and that's why nobody touched him. And he was so good for us. But in that game, watching it, that last inning, I was a little surprised at some of the pitches he got away with.
Well,
and you watch Posey too, Marty. You watch Posey catch some of those pitches, and he was probably bigger eyes than Wilson throwing them because they were just flat pitches. And nobody hit him. I think everybody was looking for that pearl on the corner. And like you said, a backup slider coming in off the outside corner. And most of the time, every hitter would be salivating on that. And sure enough, he got away with it. But crucial times, I think a lot of guys, just like we say, Ron and Marty, they clutch up. And sometimes you start thinking bigger and better instead of just trying to make contact.
Hey, did you guys call the Huff bunt?
Yeah, I think Boach. You know, Boach wanted him the bunt. Yeah, absolutely.
He did, huh?
I mean, it's unorthodox. It's unorthodox, but you know, you get a man at third base, and the fly ball gets you the lead, and you know, it's much easier to play with the lead than when you're behind, and especially in those big moments in a must-win game. I think that you put more pressure on the team. You know, Bill's been there when you're down and you're running out of outs. It's a tendency for players to put a little more pressure on themselves to get a hit or drive a ball. And, you know, I think that's a great way to play when you have a team against the wall and you can just tack on runs. It adds pressure to the other club.
Mm. Boy, great stuff. Great. I love talking about it. This is fun. Well, we'll let you go. This was good. This is good baseball stuff in the middle of the chaos that we're living through. This is really good baseball stuff. So you nailed it beautifully. Thank you.
Well, it was good being on with you guys in Bone Chip. It was good talking to you again, Bill. And I look forward to next week if we do it again. And you guys have a great evening. Thanks, Marty.
Professor, safe. All right, Professor.
Yeah,
we'll think of
Zito's bunt. That'll be the next one we'll talk about.
That's the best one. Take care, Ronnie.
All right, well, take care. All right, that's pretty good, Bill. That was great.